This cup's about winning trophies. I'm inexperiencing a lot of those things.
Three nil.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Max.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Hoo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? Bringing you a little snooze fest from across the pond, huh?
Seriously, the West Ham extra time in the FA Cup. That first 90 minutes, that was tough to get through. Not too many chances to talk about until Bruno Fernandes came off the bench. What do you think of that game, Max? What do you think of it?
You know, I thought we were all expecting something a little more exciting. I thought the boys looked good in the first half. You know, second half, not so much. I think creativity was lacking in a lot of aspects, but the boys did the job. They got the job done at the end of the day. So that's all we can ask for.
On to the sixth round of the FA Cup, you know, quarterfinal time, we're probably going to get a solid opponent. We always get one in the FA Cup. I think we went through Chelsea, Arsenal the year prior. It never comes up easy. You know, we got Bournemouth out there. But, you know, sometimes you got to win dirty. This is one for Manchester United. You'd love to do it without Bruno, Cavani, etc. But, you know, at the end of the day, Ole had no choice. He had to pull the lads off the bench. But we move on and FA Cup, a piece of silverware that would be nice to hoist this year, right?
Absolutely. Every English team is fighting for it. So, you know, when I see Man City drifting higher up that table, it's something we got to absolutely be fighting for.
Yeah, we didn't cover that one. City blasting the team who should not be named 4-1. The team who should not be named, that's why you can't root for them. You know, you can't cheer them on. I was cheering for the draw at the end of the day, but FA Cup would be a nice one to get your hands on. Obviously, we're here with Max, Alex's brother. This is the first co-host in American Red Devils podcast history to join us, Max. How are you feeling? You a little nervous here?
Absolutely. Be on the hot seat. You know, unfortunately, I'm not in the bunker, but, you know, to live up to the great man's shoes is a big, it's an honor.
No, Max has been on the pod before. We did, I think, a three-man pod with you in the bunker when you came out for the holidays. This year you weren't out because of coronavirus, etc. So again, thanks for taking the time to get the pod going. I could do a solo pod. It'd probably run 3 hours. I wouldn't shut up. So, you know, Alex keeps me in check. So, you know, I'm glad you can make the time. Obviously, like Alex mentioned on his last podcast, his son had surgery yesterday, so he's not able to be on the pod. TBD on his return, but we will keep you posted here. You know, I think I speak for all American Red Devils when we're sending our best to him and his family. JR actually wrote a great blog to that effect at AmericanRedDevils.com. It was titled "We Are With You." After Alex kind of came out and told the news to the American Red Devils family, he wrote a great blog and actually started a GoFundMe. I suggest you check that blog out. Alex did write an editor's note on that blog. I'll read it right now. He says, quote, "My family and I are overwhelmed by the well wishes and support received from JR and the rest of the American Red Devils family. Any money raised in the GoFundMe in the article will be donated to a worthwhile charity. Thank you for all the love and well wishes for our son, Felix, who's recovering well from a surgery as we speak." So again, great news from Alex, and we hope to have him back on the podcast soon. You know, it's Max, you're the man, but you know, you got big shoes to fill here.
Big shoes to fill. I think, you know, Manchester United, best club in the world with the best fans in the world. I think, you know, we're all wishing well for Alex and the fam, and for those guys to reach out like that, it means a lot. So, you know, we're all praying for you.
yeah, we built a great community here, and the support for Alex has been overwhelming. So shout out to everyone at the America Red Devils, and we look forward to have him back in the hot seat. But until then, Max, you're doing the job. And we're going to be breaking down this West Ham snooze fest. David Moyes, the tactical genius, packs it in. Before we get into that, let's do the quick PSA for the podcast. If you'd like to support the American Red Devils, you could do so on Patreon. The American Red Devils are for fans, by fans. We do not have any sponsors. No cup of noodle sponsors like Ed Woodward would sell you. It's just us, and we want to be supported directly by you, the fans. To do so, you can visit our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. You can support us anything from $1 a month to $20 a month across four tiers. We're giving away scarves, stickers, shirts, etc. Another great way to support us is check out our online store at www.AmericanRedDevils.com. We also have some amazing fan-generated content. I alluded to JR's great blog there earlier. And you can drop a review on iTunes as well. That's how we're found by most fans of the pod. If you drop 5 stars and you send us a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com, we will send you some free stickers. So it's a great deal. We have some great 5-star reviews, and the cheeky banner is absolutely a riot. Without further ado, let's break it down. West Ham 0, Manchester United 1 at Old Trafford. It was snowing in the FA Cup fifth round. Let's get into that lineup. We had Dean Henderson, the world number 2 in net, Alex Telles at left back, Maguire Lindelof center back pairing, Aaron Wan-Bissaka at right back, Fred Matic midfield, Rashford on the left, Van de Beek, Donny gets the start at number 10, Greenwood on the right, and Martial up front. And shout out to Ahmad Diallo on the bench. We can talk about that as well. Max, what were you thinking about the starting 11?
I was excited. I think Van de Beek getting the run out, I was excited to see that. You know, for me, I think Shaw is a little undroppable right now, but I'm happy to see Telles get into the squad. And otherwise, I was, you know, strong lineup. So I was excited.
This one has to be able to do it, right? I mean, you look at the big question is switching Donny like for Bruno. You know, Bruno does need a rest, and I was hoping Donny could do a job, but, you know, he didn't really come off in the number 10 role for me. What would you make of that?
No, he didn't. I think he was having trouble finding space. He was like almost a, you know, second striker up there. He was, you know, I think I heard the commentators make a mention by like halftime or, you know, some 20 or 30 minutes in, he only had like 13 touches. And I think that was just a testament to, you know, they're having a hard time getting the ball up to him, and he kind of just got lost.
And it's kind of, you're doing twice the work when you're dropping Cavani and Bruno at the same time. Regardless, I thought this team had to do it, but let's jump into that first half. United started by pressing high, and Donny van de Beek, who was playing like almost like a second striker. I didn't really understand that one. That created a big gap. And then all the playmaking kind of went to Fred, and he was having trouble threading it through. I thought Modric did a good job, but I thought Donny should have come a little deeper there. United were pressing well, and in the 11th minute, we had a great chance. Telles with an awesome ball from the left-hand side, finds Martial, gets in between the two center backs, and he actually had a shot, but it was challenged by Ogbonna. And then on the follow-through, Martial actually like cleated his ankle pretty bad, and Ogbonna actually came off. I thought this United started well. Again, they were high up the pitch. They had the intent to score, and just too bad Martial couldn't convert this.
Yeah, I thought, you know, Telles was looking good. He made a nice ball in, and unfortunately the shot got blocked away, but I thought it was a good start.
15th minute, another great cross from Telles into Martial. Awesome hold-up play. He finds Greenwood, but the shot was blocked. Again, David Moyes, tactical genius, putting 9 West Ham players on the line. You could see the tactics right off the block. I'm glad David Moyes is gone, not in Manchester anymore. What about you, Max?
I mean, you know, he will not lose any chance he gets to say how little time he got at Manchester United. He still ruined that day that they sacked him.
Salty.
Still thinks he deserves more time years later.
Salty Moyes. Salty Moyes. 27th minute, probably best chance of the first half. Off the post, the Iceman Lindelof with a great header from the corner. Was deflected. Fabianski fingertips to it, then onto the post. I mean, this one, this is the goal that we were denied. I mean, it should have gone in. And should have been cruising from here, winning and not needing extra time, right?
Yeah, that was a great save. I don't know. When I first saw that, I thought that was going in. Thought, and it looked Maguire-esque from last week or the other week. But it was a nice save.
And I always say Maguire's due, but Lindelof's due. He's even more due for a goal. Given that was the first half, few chances. West Ham was really packing it in. They didn't really show it. It's not usually when we play teams like this, they're sitting, the counter is a little dangerous. We've heard a lot about West Ham. They're having a great season, but I didn't see much of it today or in the first half. Would you make, should Ole have made a change?
You know, I don't think so. I think going into the half, he probably needed to tell the boys to, you know, pick it up in the final third, you know, be a little more decisive with those final passes. You know, David Moyes, tactical genius. He, you know, I was surprised he didn't start Mikel Antonio, but it certainly packed it in because we were having a hard time breaking through.
Yeah, coming out second half, 53rd minute, big chance. Greenwood's low cross, takes a deflection en route to Rashford, chests it, and then tries to hit it, but he muffs it. But again, Fabianski got big, made a good save. This should have been a goal, right? When this doesn't go in, you're like, this is going to be a long day.
Yeah, it was one of those days that came to his feet. He had so much time that needed to go in.
Absolutely. Then Ole, I was calling for, I was like, this team looks a certain way with Bruno, without Bruno. Sure enough, Bruno Fernandes, you know, it's got to be a riot to be on the bench and be Bruno, because he's like, I hope this team does it, but they're probably not without me. And I'm going to have to come on and, like, you know, solve this problem. He came on the 73rd minute, straight up swap for Van de Beek. Matic came off, McTominay came on. Obviously, we knew Bruno was going to come on. What'd you make of the McTominay for Matic? Do you like that sub?
I think so. I think Matic had a good game. You know, McTominay, he brings a different element, similar element, but, you know, he can bring a lot of speed to it, and that's a good change. I agree with you. I think the Van de Beek sub was about maybe 13 minutes too late, but
yeah.
Could have been a little earlier for me, but no, I like the two subs.
All right, turning the screws here, trying to get done in regular time. Ole brings on Cavani for Greenwood, 86th minute. I thought Greenwood had a good game. He had that awesome turn on the touchline. Just couldn't find the net, you know, but Greenwood's coming to his own on the right wing. I think it's going to take a few more reps for him to become Ronaldo-esque out there. And then 92nd minute, it was a corner for West Ham. End of the game. I'm having flashbacks to Everton. The corner comes in, the ball flies through everybody, hits the back, like almost hits the back post. Wan-Bissaka there, clears awkwardly. United looking shaky at set piece defending late in games, as always, as is tradition. Heart attack city, that is a full-time whistle. We're going to extra time. How are you feeling about extra time here? You're like, playing so many matches, we got to play another 30 minutes?
Yeah, I know none of the boys wanted it. I had PTSD at those last couple seconds. I was shit scared that they were going to let something in. But, I knew the boys could pull it out, but, you know, nobody wanted that extra time.
Not at all. Extra time, there wasn't a lot going on, but right away Ole decides to switch it up. Wan-Bissaka and Telles are off. Shaw and Williams come on. The left and right back are critical in the attack, or be pressing. They're going to be getting back as well. So I thought that was a great sub. I love seeing B-dubs get some time as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think, Shaw going in there, again, it's just another force that's going to be coming down your wing. And, you know, that late in the game, West Ham's tired. It's a perfect sub.
All right, we got the winner. Didn't take too much long after extra time started. 96th minute.
On here, Martial to Bruno Fernandes. Cavani takes a defender one way. Fred arrives. Cresswell's defensive header. Still work to do, and McTominay scores. Suddenly, the Scottish international has discovered a previously hidden goal-scoring instinct. And it may be that propels Manchester United and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer into the last eight.
Well, it all comes about. The West Ham attack, the Rice bad touch. Shaw wins it, takes a knock for his troubles when Rice was lunging at the ball, and all of a sudden, Manchester United are going down that left-hand side. And once Fernandes picks it up here, you can see they've got four, five red jerseys. Now West Ham are stretched. I think it's the initial header here from Creswell, but that's what I was talking about. Getting somebody on who's a bit more energetic for United. They don't need those two guys sitting in front of the back four. The legs of McTominay, and you mentioned it, he's been in good goal scoring form. He's prepared to get forward. He's adding this to his game, the young man. And it's not an easy finish, but I tell you what, it's a good finish. And Fabianski, who's been excellent whenever he's been called upon.
What in the world is Craig Burley talking about? What in the world is that guy? Could you understand anything he said about that goal?
I couldn't understand the last like 15 seconds there.
He was just talking about like he can run a lot. Or like, what are you talking about? You know, it didn't make any sense. Craig Burley, ladies and gentlemen. I think they were talking as well during the game about empty stadium. I'm like, Craig Burley, you're in Connecticut, bud. I'm pretty sure you're not even there. I'm pretty sure you're like via telecast, and you're in Connecticut. You're not even in Manchester.
We're playing with you, Craig.
we know you're sitting in that studio with all those other numpties, enjoying it. Awesome. So look, that was it. And not a lot in extra time. There's a few half chances. I think a soft header Dino saved. But I thought the lads closed it out well. I mean, you had the first team out there pretty much with Bruno, Cavani, and the rest. So, you know, United win 1-0. We get the clean sheet. We're on to the sixth round, on to the quarterfinals. Silverware within our reach. Who cares how you do it? I mean, it sucks. It takes extra time. But on the way to winning a trophy, you're always going to have games like this, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think, done and dusted for the lads. Obviously, it's good to see Van de Beek get a run out. I thought, you know, Martial obviously could have played better and a couple things here or there, but the boys got it done. That's all that matters. On to the next round.
Yeah, Martial, I was really hoping that he could come on, maybe score a brace. He got the start. Cavani's begin, you know, all the reps. I was really hoping Martial could kick on after that Southampton sort of breakthrough for him, but it wasn't meant to be. I thought he did. He looked good. Some of the hold-up play in the box. There were good notes for him.
Yeah, no, I was surprised when – I agree with you when you said that when Greenwood came off, because I thought they were going to do Cavani for Martial because, you know, in that second half he was just non-existent for me. But, Ole's got trust in him, wants to get him back in form, get him some goals again. So, yeah, you know, I'm sure they'll come soon.
All right, match stats. United with 62% of the ball to West Ham's 38%. Total shots, 16 to United, 3 for West Ham. Absolute domination. 4 on target for United, 1 for West Ham. That's really what it comes down to, is how many were taken off target. I think Matic skied one, you know. But it'd be interesting to see how many were on target. I think we had 1 in the first half, 3 in the second. How many happened after Bruno Fernandes came on? That's also something to think about as well. Awesome. Match reaction, Marcus Rashford registered his 9th assist in all competitions for Manchester United. Unbelievable. His best return in a single campaign for the club and second only to Bruno Fernandes for the Red Devils in 2021. And age 23 years and 101 days, Marcus Rashford became the 4th youngest player in Manchester United history to reach 250 games for the club, only behind Norman Whiteside, Georgie Best, and Ryan Giggs. I mean, Marcus Rashford, the legend keeps on growing. It's almost Sir Marcus Rashford at this point, at least for most people on the pod, at least he's Sir Marcus. Both Marcus Rashford and Anthony Martial played their 250th matches for Manchester United in the same game tonight. Only the second time in club history that has happened. The other occasion was also at home against West Ham in August 1986, when both Mike Duxbury and Frank Stapleton did so. And Manchester United have won their last 9 home FA Cup matches, their longest joint home winning run in the competition, equaling their 9 consecutive home wins between 1908 and 1912. That is a hell of a streak, over 100 years ago. And West Ham have now been eliminated in each of their last 4 FA Cup ties against Manchester United. Up the Hammers. And Scotty McSauce has scored 7 goals in 30 appearances for Manchester United this season, as many as he has scored in 84 appearances in his first four seasons between 1617 and 1920. Scott McTominay finding the back of that net, and that was a hard finish. It was first time, quick pass from Rashford. Can't say better things about Scotty McSauce.
Love the McSauce. He was looking clinical out there.
He's a beast, absolute beast. But what do we know, Max? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
A lot of matches these days, so I'm guessing playing another 30 minutes today isn't something that you would want to do. Think as this season is that this kind of game should maybe go straight to penalties after 90 minutes?
No. I think them extra minutes might just give us a boost for our fitness. Yeah, I think the players stood the game out really well. We are getting stronger and fitter. So of course you'd like to win in 90 minutes, but when it happened to be like this, I think to go straight to pens wouldn't be the right thing, no.
James Cooper.
Hi, Ollie. It was a long game, a long watch on a cold night, but it's the main thing. You're in the last day of the competition.
Of course, going through is always the main thing in the cup, and for us bouncing back after the disappointing last kick of the ball the other day. So very pleased with the mentality, how they've reset their attitude, and we're positive about going through.
Simon Peach.
Who impressed you? You obviously made some changes, and I'm guessing Scott McTominay's input in front of goal is something that's good to see, is one of the main positives.
Yeah, Scott has really developed that part of his game this season. Of course, we let him go into the box more often, unleash him. He's a very good striker of the ball and a very clinical finisher. He's as he was a forward or a striker in his younger days, you can see his authority when he gets a chance to finish.
All right, Ole, Mr. Nice Guy, you know, keeps it light in the post-game presser, Max. What do you make of those comments from the manager?
I love that. Unleash the McSauce. We want to keep seeing more of that. I'm all about it.
No, and I didn't know he used to play striker when he was younger. It makes sense, but, you know, some of those strikes from the top of the box, I think it's kind of knowing when to go, right? And then having that finish, I mean... Someone wrote a tweet saying it looks more dangerous than Paul Pogba. I don't know if that's the case, but you know, Scotty McSauce looking like he scored a few, you know, and in midfield, you talk about Pogba might be moving on next year. Scotty kind of coming to his own.
I absolutely agree. I mean, you remember that goal he had against Man City last year? He probably had a farther out goal from farther away from net than Paul Pogba has for Manchester United. So I'll take that.
the last goal scored in front of stands, in front of fans, you know, you can imagine like rain coming down, the derby, that goal, 70,000 Old Trafford, and it hasn't been the same since. So it's almost good that was like the last goal scored at Old Trafford. You could watch that replay a million times. Update on the FA Cup. The sixth round draw will take place on Thursday, the 11th of February. So this Thursday, we'll know. Quarterfinals will be played the weekend of Saturday, March 20th. If there weren't enough matches already, we're going to be playing again, going again. Teams left in the competition. Bournemouth won their match. Championship side. Manchester United, obviously, we're back in it. Sixth round. Games to be played. Sheffield United versus Bristol City. Wolves versus Southampton, Barnsley versus Chelsea, Everton versus Tottenham. That's probably the most entertaining fixture. Swansea City versus Manchester City, Leicester City versus Brighton Hove and Albion. So some big names in there. You got the Leicesters. I'm not going to say Tottenham. You know, lads, it's Tottenham there. City, Chelsea. Love Chelsea in the next round. Would love to beat Chelsea. Thomas Tuchel's Chelsea.
Yeah, a lot of good teams left. Obviously, you know, FA Cup, everyone's going to be fighting for it. So even if we get a championship side like Bournemouth, we got to fight for it.
No, absolutely. It's almost, but we play well against the big teams. So bring it on. I love another Chelsea match. Hollow, hollow, hollow. I love to sing that song. Look, there's always a next match. This one we won dirty. Hopefully we can win pretty. It's Manchester United versus West Bromwich Albion FC. At the Hawthorns away, you know our way form. It is good. Sunday, February 14th, it is Valentine's Day. What are we getting the wives for Valentine's Day? We're getting a Manchester United versus West Brom early wake-up call. They're going to love it. Max, you're not married yet, so get the girlfriend.
A cup of coffee. A dark ale in bed. Girlfriend's number one wish is a dark ale and bed and breakfast, right?
There you go. 6 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Eastern. So it's not too early where you are. So, you know, at least you have that. But I'm going to get that 5:30 a.m. wake up call. It's going to be great. Start off Valentine's Day on the wrong foot. Lifetime versus West Brom. We've beat them 57 times, drawn 32, and we've lost 44. First time we played, October 1892. We drew 0-0 when we were Newton Heath in League Division 1. Let's hope we do not draw West Brom this time. They're 14th in the table. They're floundering. They're coming into this game on absolute terrible form. They lost to West Ham, who we just beat. They lost to City 5-0. I'd argue that's the benchmark. They drew Fulham 2-2. They lost to Sheffield United, and then they just lost to Tottenham 2-0. A bad Tottenham. A bad Tottenham. So they've lost four. They've drawn one. No excuses. Play like a champion. Are you nervous about West Brom, Max? How you feeling?
I'm not nervous. I think the boys, you know, I think they got everything they need to, you know, take on Big Sam, West Brom. I'm just excited for their Sunday to come.
Yes, Big Sam wanted to cancel the season, I think. That's how confident he is in his side. A little history about West Bromwich Albion Football Club. They're based in the West Midlands, a.k.a. The Reach, if you've ever seen Game of Thrones. Just kidding. The club was formed in 1878 and has played at its home ground, the Hawthorns, since 1900. You got to love that history. We're going to the Hawthorns. They've been playing there for more than 120 years. Albion was one of the 12 founding members of the Football League in 1888. It's a pretty big, that's a hell of a feather in their cap, right? Manchester United was not a part of that. Newton Heath was not a part of that. And the club has spent the majority of its existence in the top tier of English football, getting beat up on. They played there for 82 seasons, if you can believe it. They've been champions of England once, 1920, back in the day, 1919-20, right after World War I, and they've been runners-up twice. They've reached FA Cup final 10 times. They've won it on 5 occasions. So a lot of history here. You wouldn't think West Brom, you know, famously, I believe the last game against Sir Alex Ferguson, that 5-5 draw was West Brom as well, a little Manchester United history there. And of all the rivals, Aston Villa and Wolves, those are the West Midlands rivalries. The Black Country Derby is who they contest with Wolves. So if anyone ever asks you Black Country Derby at a pub trivia question, it's West Brom and Wolves, Max, just in case you need that one.
Well, add that to the playbook. Now we know.
physioroom.com injuries, the big one everyone's talking about, Paul Pogba, that upper thigh. The update from Ole made news across social media. Upper thigh injury, take a few weeks. He's going to be out of Europa League. Potential return late February. So Paul Pogba is no more in the starting 11, which is that's going to be a big hit because we have a lot of fixtures coming in February. Baye is out. He almost featured against West Ham. I'm hoping he's going to be back for West Brom. And then Phil Jones, you know he's cashing checks, just chilling. Given those injuries, Max, what is your lineup?
Lineup for the West Brom game, going to go Dave, number one in net. Going to do AWB, Maguire, Baye, and Shaw as my back four. No Frogba this week, so we'll do McTominay and Fred. And then top four of Rashford, Fernandez, Greenwood, and Cavani.
All right. So what'd you say?
Dropping Martial.
All right, Max, I believe you just read my team off the team sheet, as is tradition, like your brother likes to do. So I'm going to have to change it on the fly here. Dave Say is world number one in net. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, I'm going to go Maguire, Lindelof, Shaw. I'm going to do Fred, McTominay. I'm going to say Bruno, Rashford, Cavani, Greenwood. So I got the Lindelof switch. But I think this is the best 11. I think it's good that we know this. I think we have to play our best 11 against West Brom. You know, we're 1-0 every week. Stay hungry. Stay humble. I think we're going to win this one easily. Let's hope for 5-0 like Man City did. Booking the bookies, the odds, United to win -315, West Brom to win +900, the draw +440. We are heavy favorites. Given those are the odds, what is your score prediction for West Brom?
I'm going to go 3-0.
All right, I'm going to say 5-0. We're going to do them like City did. That's the benchmark. We could beat it maybe by a goal, but I'm going to say 5-0. All right, moving on. United in the news. We got the latest and greatest Manchester United news here. Article came out on ESPN. Man City and Manchester United have lost the most money on transfer market. That means we are just have the worst net spend since 2016. Together, City does edge us out. And this is per a CIES report. It's no surprise here. We call it the Edward Worth special. We buy high, we sell low. We just burn that cash. we burn that sponsorship money. But really interesting stuff here. Since 2016, man, shitty. They have a net spend of negative 631 million euros. Manchester United right behind them with negative 586 million. Barcelona, 471. PSG, 455. Inter, 386. Everton, 346. And this is really the toughest pill to swallow. United not able to sell. You know, we're only able to buy, and can't sell. Woodward's struggling. He doesn't have experience as a director of football, so there's no surprise here. But worldwide, City and United, 1 and 2, given City's been winning titles, and you look at their team, you have to give Woodward a bad grade here, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at that stat, and since 2016, yeah, how much has City won and how much have we won? That's your, you know, it's the only way to know how you do in this business is by results. And, you know, Woodward has shown time and again, he has no idea what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, Barcelona, PSG, right, Champions League final. I mean, there's a lot of different teams up there, and this just speaks to, you know, and it's arguably we should be number one because they should have spent more money in the past summer, right? We needed a center back. We needed a right winger. We didn't even go out and get them. Obviously, we know the club's cash woes, but we're just doing bad business. And I think when you see Pogba this summer, obviously we talked about rumors that he might sign a new deal, but most likely we're going to sell him, and it's going to be a cut-rate deal. You know, you're going to buy high, you're going to sell low again. Why can't you sell Paul Pogba for a big ticket? It's just something about United, something about Ed Woodward where, you know, you look at Lingard, we're trying to get off the books. No one wants to buy him. Phil Jones, no one wants to buy him. Rojo leaving on a free. Romero can't sell him. It's like, you know, it's almost like Woodward should be fired. It's almost like we should get a director of football into Manchester United. And, you know, you hate to see this type of money be lost and us not winning at least 3 EPL titles.
Yeah, it's hard to swallow. You know, again and again, we go around this merry-go-round of constantly talking about Woodward, and, you know, just it sucks as a fan to be at the end of it, knowing that he's up at the top just making these pistol decisions of whatever he wants. But,
well, your brother famously slated the Cavani signing. Well, you think of the Igalos of the world, the Cavani. Obviously, Cavani comes good. It looks great. You love it at United, but really, Haaland was the move. You buy Haaland for 40, he's worth quite a bit more. Now, to be fair to Manchester United, this doesn't take into account the valuation of the academy. What's Greenwood worth? What's Rashford worth? I mean, but thing is, we're not selling those players for good reason. It's just the business that we are doing. We're not able to really unload anyone once they come into United. And Ander Herrera, right, left for a free. Another big crime on Ed Woodward's watch. Next bit of news here. Speaking of Woodward and the Glazers, hashtag Glazers out. Get your scarves at www.americaredevils.com. They're on sale because we love United. We hate Glazer. Tampa Bay Buccaneers win Super Bowl 55. Joel Glazer gets up there, accepts the Super Bowl trophy, gives this speech, thanks everyone in Tampa. And he quoted his late father. He said, "My father had an expression, if you want to know the road ahead, ask the person that's been there." And for some reason, I don't know how that would apply to Manchester United because Ed Woodward's never been anywhere. He's an investment banker with zero experience in football transfers. So why are they doing this, get all these all-stars, try to win in Tampa Bay, and leaving United hanging with these sort of cut-rate signings last summer, Max?
I don't know what the hell is so cool about Tampa.
We have listeners in Tampa, so.
Yeah, I mean, no, I love Florida. Don't get me wrong. You know, a good old, you know, sunshine. I mean, I could use some up here in Jersey. We're a little bitter maybe, but I don't know. Yeah. The Glazers, they're maniacs.
He's the Cole. So for those who don't know how the Glazer scum work, Joel is the co-chairman along with Avram. Avram is who's on that clown nose t-shirt in our online store. Joel has not been to a game in over 2 years. There was not one Glazer representative at the Munich ceremony on February 6th against Everton, which I thought, you know, someone's got to be there. And what's ironic is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Malcolm Glazer, who bought Manchester United, he obviously bought the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as well. The franchise is worth around $2.2 billion. It's one of the worst franchises in the NFL. They won their second Super Bowl, but the Glazers own Manchester United, which arguably, obviously on the stock market, it trades a little under $3 billion, but the rumored purchase to the Saudi royal family was between $3.8 and $4 billion. So Manchester United could arguably be worth double, and it is the most famous club in the most famous sport in all the world, and they're investing in this like terrible American football team. I really don't understand, you know, if they were able to invest that money in Manchester United, win with Manchester United, their investment return would be higher on their asset than it would be in Tampa Bay. It makes no sense to me other than the fact they have no idea what they're doing and they live in Tampa and would prefer to invest in that franchise.
Yeah, I think every United fan, you know, it's sad to see. You want management that cares about your team, that's willing to put money into your team, and, you know, it's just a cash cow for them. They could give two shits, and they've shown their cards, you know.
The greatest of English football is just not another team, you know. Like, Tampa Bay, like, who would you compare the Tampa Bay again, apologies to any Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans in Tampa. We're really going hard to the hoop here. Like, Tampa Bay would be like West Brom. You know, it'd be like Sheffield United, and you're telling me you're going to invest all your time and money there and not into Manchester United. It makes no sense to me. This is why the Glazer ownership, that's why they got to go, because if you only view it as a financial instrument, you're taking dividends during the pandemic. You're leaving no money on the balance sheet. The stock is in the dumps. The team is playing lights out despite, and Ole, the manager, is putting together the team despite everything they've taken out of the club. It's time to just move on, time to sell it. And unfortunately, we're not going to see them sell it until fans are back in the stands and they can, you know, get a higher valuation for it. So I think we're going to be stuck with them for the long term, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a sad situation. I mean, we'd all like to see the club get sold somewhere else, you know. But again, I agree. I don't see that happening anytime soon.
You don't have $4 billion under your mattress, do you, Max?
I don't think so. I could check again, but I'm like a billion short. You know what I mean?
I'm like 3.99999999 short. Yeah.
I found like $20 the other day. I got that. Like, you know, I'll throw that to the pot.
We can put our credit cards together. Next bit of news, Manchester United's Europa League clash with Real Sociedad moved to Turin due to COVID-19 restrictions in España. So Manchester United, their game was going to be played in Spain, but due to the coronavirus travel restrictions, it's been moved to Juventus's Allianz Stadium due to coronavirus, right? And the first leg of the last 32 tie will be played there. And then obviously we'll play at Old Trafford. So This is good for us. Real Sociedad, they're going to be playing on away ground. They're not going to be playing at home, and then they're going to have to come to our house. So I this is advantage United here. How much, who knows? But interesting switch up here due to coronavirus.
No, yeah, I agree. It's, you know, it's tough, obviously, with everything going on. But having them having to travel, you know, two times, it'll definitely be an advantage. So let's hope the boys can take care of it.
But the problem for me is, you know, is Europa League back on now? Now there could be there's quite a bit of daylight between United and City in the league. I was thinking, get out of Europa League, focus on winning 21. Now that City's got some daylight, do we try to win Europa League here, Max? How are you feeling about this tournament in general? I haven't talked to you about it.
You know, I haven't really. You know, after the crash out after Red Bull and everything, I think I've been keep my head down thinking about it. But I think the boys are going to go for it. You know, I think there's no reason they shouldn't. And I think later on, you know, if we can get farther, then that will be the true testament if we can hopefully close the gap on City. But I think at this point, you know, I think Ole is definitely going to go for some silverware.
No, and I also think he should play some kids like Ahmad Diallo, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, a couple youngsters that can come up in the squad.
Yeah, and Real Sociedad, they're actually a hitter in España this season, so this isn't going to be an easy match. Depending on the 11, I think seeing the 11 from Ole, that will give us a big signal of his intent in the competition. So He usually plays a pretty good side, so I don't think he's going to just play kids. All right, jumping to fan questions. We got some hot banter on Twitter. Thanks for everyone who tweeted us and got us your questions. Post-match, jumping in here, Max, I'll ask for your reactions. At MJFit16, quote, battled for that, deserved to win, but was harder than the announcers would admit. They played 9 in the box, if not 10. I mean, testament to David Moyes.
Absolutely agree. You know, pack the box. It's hard to break down. It was a tough battle, but it was a day, and we got through it.
Next tweet here, at Jamal Mota. Sirs, first off, all the best to Alex and his family, sending prayers. Thanks, Jamal. Second, boring game. Nice pass from Rash to McSauce. Got a clean sheet and a win, so we keep going on. Ole and all of United need some hardware, so we need to start prioritizing these cup games, I think. Glory, glory. What do you make of that? Prioritize the FA Cup?
I think so. You know, it's easy for us to say, sit on the couch, prioritize everything. You know, they're the ones that I got to go out 2-3 days at a time to put the performances together. But I think so. I think, you know, getting Ole's first piece of silverware will be a big deal. So if we got to go this route, let's do it.
Absolutely, Max. You hit the nail on the head. Ole's first piece of silverware. Like, let's get him in. I don't care if it's FA Cup. I don't care if it's Europa League. I don't care if it's a 21st league title. Let's get him. Let's get him that silverware. You know, I probably put them in reverse order there, but we'll take it. We'll take whatever we can get this season. At Briquette Mets, number one, why is Twitter melting down over a dominant performance that saw us advance with 7 times as many chances created? It's just Twitter. You know, Twitter is just a little negative here with United. I think you have a bunch of spoiled fans who can't trust the process. Number two, it pains me to say this, but we need a little more Van Gaal ball in the last 10 minutes of matches. Well, we got rid of Fellaini, so I don't know who's going to dunk it in. Maybe Cavani. Number three is Scotty. And number four, hope all is well with Alex's son's surgery. Appreciate that, Mike. So, Max, what do you think? Why is Twitter melting down when we won the game? I mean, didn't everyone watch Sir Alex Ferguson do it? You know, it's like you got to win dirty every once in a while.
I agree with you. I try to stay away from the Twitterverse, but I think everyone's still riding that Southampton high. They just want to see, you know, us shooting, you know, getting crazy amount of goals every game. I can't blame them. I do too.
And I actually was talking to Alex about this. We were watching Everton. If you take United last season, we're 6th looking in. We go on this amazing run. We get top 4, like on the last day, always at the wheel, like awesome. We're a top 4 team. Then you look at the summer, we didn't really invest. We got a few pieces of the puzzle, but we didn't really do it in the Manchester United way, like get Sancho, get these big marquee signings, like a young number 9. We kind of patch it together and we come out and we're like literally in a title race halfway through the season. The improvement is huge and the reinforcements were not purchased. So fans should be thinking positively like, yeah, I want to win 21. Is this a season to do it? Probably not, but we are so much better than we were last season. And it's almost like people forgot that because we're United and we just want to win every single season.
Yeah, I think, you know, you hear Roy Keane say it a lot in the press and, you know, he's like, sometimes the boys don't even realize where they are. They can't even, you know, and there's something to be said about that. I think they have come leaps and bounds. And I think that, you know, next season they should absolutely, you know, be winning the title and not that we can't continue the fight now, but, you know, have to give credit where credit's due and, you know, incomings in the summer, you know, can't say the boys don't deserve where they are, but, you know, won't fret them for trying.
But with the business we did, do you think that we were title contenders coming in? I mean, I did because I'm just like crazy biased. I think I always say we're going to win every year.
I always do. I think it was hard to say because it was that kind of year. I think, honestly, you know, I thought Liverpool would have a better, you know, obviously they're still a good team and there's still games to be played, but right now they're not looking too good. Obviously nobody could have predicted the Van Dijk injury. But, you know, it's just, again, it's that kind of league. Everyone thought Chelsea was going to all of a sudden be this like crazy team. They're, you know, nowhere to be found. Tottenham, everyone. But, you know, I absolutely think every season they're going to be fighting as they should be. But, you know, it's hard to say.
Next tweet here at JDW300, quote, "It's time for Van de Beek to adapt or die. He's not getting the starting 10 spot over Bruno. He can still play and develop to challenge Scott and Fred, though, which I think is where he can put in those playmaking skills. Overall slow, but we do advance. Martial still frustrating me." What do you make of Donny Van de Beek? Seems like he came into United, he looked great, and then he hasn't been able to get a game. He comes in, doesn't look amazing. Are we ruining Van de Beek? Should he be playing at United? Should he be on loan? I mean, clearly we need a backup 10, but you know, he didn't look like he could do the job today against West Ham.
No, he had a tough day. I think he's he needs to get into match form. I think, you know, once he gets a run of games together, he does have that talent there. I think he's got a lot of pressure on him where, you know, he's got these minutes and he feels like everything's got to be perfect because he was definitely forcing a lot of stuff today. I think a couple games under his belt will do him a lot of good. And hopefully Ole will give him a shot.
I like to see him in a two as well. You know, you saw Fred struggle playing through the lines. I think Donny excels there. We have seen him play in a two at some points during the season. You know, I think there's a role for him, but Ole needs some time to figure it out. And obviously you can't rush these things with Van de Beek. You got to give him time. Next tweet here at Ty Kircher, quote, "Survive in advance. That's all that matters. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United." Totally agree. At T Zoldsky, quote, "Not sure about the style points, but we got the win and we advance. At the end of the day, it's all that matters. Now let's get back on track in the league. Hashtag Glazers out." Couldn't agree more. And then, quote, at Michael 72, quote, "I'm not really concerned about this performance. We got rotation against a good team, and then we put our best 11 and got the win. That's all that matters in these cup games. Also, Hendo needs to get games in the league now. Hashtag Glazers out." What do you make of Dean Henderson and De Gea? De Gea was soft in Everton. You're a big De Gea guy. You met De Gea. You know, like
I did. I was awestruck. Let me just say that.
You size De Gea up, you know, what do you make of him? And then, like, what do you think of his form?
I think I agree with you guys. He's been soft the past couple of weeks. You know, his form has dipped off. He hasn't, you know, I would say, you know, you could almost argue the past couple of years, ever since when he was our, you know, standalone number one. I want to see Dino get more playing time. I do think that De Gea has obviously earned that role and he still should be, you know, thought of as, you know, the absolute number one, but a little rotation doesn't hurt and maybe it'll light a fire under De Gea's ass.
Yeah. I can't drop Dave. You know, yeah. I watched those goals. He's arguably at fault for the Everton loss. But how many games in the past, maybe I'm living in the past, Max, but how many games he won us? Over so many seasons, but it's almost like it's been 2 years of this, like ever since we played Barcelona in the Champions League, what was that, quarters? After PSG, he kind of made an error. The errors have been coming. They came last season. He can't shake it. I think mentally, and also you've seen him do it for Spain. The most concerning part is it used to be he was not good for Spain. He was good for us. You know, I think Dino probably fits the mold right now for United, playing it out the back. He has the boot. He's a little more confident in that type of style. And we don't need these, like, amazing shot-stopping performances like we used to out of De Gea. So it's almost like Dino fits this team now, but I still can't say De Gea deserves to be dropped. I still think you got to play him in the league until something egregious happens. He's also making quite a bit of money. He's number one on payroll. So, you know. Dave saves world number one, still world number one.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree with you. I'll have him as my number one any day.
Where'd you meet De Gea? What was the story there?
Story was I was traveling in Spain, was at a restaurant in Toledo, which is a city south of Madrid. And I just look over and I see him. He's like sitting there with his now wife and I think sister or something. And you know, I think we had finished our meal and I asked my friends if we could like wait half an hour until he had finished his. So when he was getting up, I could go get a picture. I was like getting like a schoolgirl.
What's crazy is like you're the same height as De Gea. Like you should have been a keeper. You should have been a keeper.
Yeah, probably like 50 pounds heavier, but we'll forget that part.
Hey, yeah, like on the corners, you could like body some some of these EPL players out of the way. You know, you never know.
You won't see me spaghetti army. You know, spaghetti arms in there.
Yeah, when you go in for a punch, it's coming. Look, that's been the podcast, Max. You're the man. Thank you so much for jumping in and co-hosting, telling the story about me and De Gea, etc. It's always good to have a fellow United fan on the pod. And, you know, it was a bummer we couldn't have you out for the holidays because of COVID, because that would have been a blast too, always having the three-way pods. But you'll be back on again maybe next week. We don't know exactly when Alex is coming back, but we will keep you posted. Quick housekeeping here for the podcast. Again, the America Red Devils is for fans, by fans. Support the podcast. Check us out, Patreon, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. Check out our blog, www.AmericaRedDevils.com. We have amazing fan-generated content. You can click on store. We have some good merchandise there as well, including those Glazer Out scarves. Write a review on iTunes. That goes a long way to helping us, and it costs you nothing. Let's check in with the top downloads last 7 days. I'm not nearly as good as Alex as announcing these. Number one, Somerset, New Jersey. Number two, Mayock, North Carolina. Number three, Champaign, Illinois. Number four, Ireland. Have a dark ale, Ireland. Calgary, Canada. Chicago, Illinois. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Aberdeen, Florida. Los Angeles, California. Macon, Georgia. Or Macon, Georgia. We also got Vancouver on the list. We have Oslo, Wigan, United Kingdom. We have Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. We have the town who shall not be named in the UK on the internationals list. So a hell of a week for downloads. We really appreciate everyone who downloads, listens, interacts on Twitter, everything in between. We think this is an amazing community, the American Red Devils, for fans, by fans. Max, do we miss anything today?
No, I want to say, thanks to John for having me on. Obviously, all, you know, thoughts and prayers with Alex and the fam. Love this club to the day I die. And it's an honor to be on the pod with you boys. So love it.
Absolutely. And as always, we're going to be kicking a blue. Kicking a blue.